Joining me in the studio, a very special guest this morning, Pam Oliver. Pam, long-term Islander, she's going to tell us what this is all about, but Pam is heavily involved in a very broad-based community-based proposal to develop a strategy for sustainable tourism on Waiheke Island. And I don't know about you guys out there this morning, but this summer, every summer, but this summer has left me feeling, boy, do we need a strategy for sustainable tourism on the island. That's my personal view. But here to tell us what this is all about is Pam Oliver. Good morning, kia ora.
Morning.
So, Pam, just where did this all come from?
Well, I think initially for me, anyway, it came from some pretty apparent problems, not this summer, but last summer, in fact. I think long-term Islanders had been watching tourism increase on the island over the last 4 or 5 years. But last summer, according to Fullers anyway, numbers of visitors to the island, numbers of trips to the island increased by 29% over the summer, over the previous year. And most of those people, of course, would have been visitors because ordinary residence numbers wouldn't have increased over that period. And I personally became really concerned when I got off the ferry one day in December and saw an enormous pahutukawa, flowering pahutukawa branch on Ocean View Road being cut down and fed into a chipper. And as I kind of investigated that, it became apparent that, in fact, there was a strategy for pruning the roadside reserves on a pretty large scale just to accommodate the double-decker buses, which, of course, were a bit of a shock to those of us who've been on the island for a long time. So, yeah, it was looking at that and then thinking to myself, you know, what do we need to do about this? I think my own background professionally is in policy and strategy development, and I'm a professional researcher. And I, you know, when I see problems like that, Greg, I think there are two things immediately to be done. The first is to kind of look at the presenting problem and go, okay, what do we need to do about that to stop any further damage? And the second is to go, hey, where's the strategy gap here? Mm. What hasn't happened at a strategical planning level that this stuff is allowed to happen? So, so working on from that over the next couple of months, I and some other friends, pretty well-known people on the island, started a sort of a dual campaign to try and stop that road reserve pruning so that our beautiful
roads... There was some huge number of trees that were subject to it, weren't there?
What the council told me was that they had a plan for 2,000, roughly 2,000 protected natives on the roadside to be trimmed. They said at the time that that was not just to accommodate the double-decker buses, but also the power lines, but, you know, it's hard to tell the difference sometimes.
Well, they're both at the same height,
exactly.
So shall we say it's the same problem?
Exactly, it appeared to be. So we started a campaign to try and get some reason around that. And in fact, we've had some great wins on that front. And we also started a campaign to deal with the problem with the ferry timetable and the fact that residents could no longer get to work or get home at the times that they'd been used to because of the massive increase in visitor numbers. And we've had some great wins on that front too, with the local lanes being introduced. Not perfect yet, but so anyway, after that, I kind of kicked back and thought, you know, at a strategy level, what do we need to do? I had some conversations with members of the local board. I talked with the Waiheke Tourism Forum, talked with Lynn Butler at Auckland Tourism, which is a branch of council.
That's ATED.
That's ATED.
That's what we know as ATED, Auckland Tourism Economic Events Development or something.
That's the one. And then I sort of thought, you know, are there frameworks already for developing a sustainable tourism strategy? And I got in touch with a friend of mine, old friend of mine, lovely man called Marcio de Paula, who lives in Madrid. He is the CEO of the World Tourism Organization. And for people who don't know about the WTO, their whole kaupapa is, in fact, sustainable.
It's not the World Trade Organization.
No.
It's the World Tourism Organization.
It is the World Tourism Organization. So their whole kaupapa is, in fact, sustainable tourism. It's, it's what they do. And Marcio told me about a program that they'd started up a couple of years ago at WTO called the International Network of Sustainable Tourism Organisations.
Well done, INSTO.
Yep. INSTO, yep. INSTO. And he suggested that we might like to think as a community of joining that program, partly because that gives us a sort of United Nations credential, if you like, but also because it does actually provide a really, really valuable framework already set up for this is how to go about developing.
These aren't new problems we're facing, are they? We can learn from other people around the world.
Absolutely, and that's what the network is for. Interestingly, he also told me that an existing collaboration in New Zealand had already applied to INSTO and been accepted, and that's between the community of Raglan and the University of Waikato.
Right.
And so there was already, if you like, a project within our project in our hood that was that we could go to for some ideas and advice. So the INSTO program,
we can also learn off their successes and failures. They're just a step ahead of us, are they?
They're just a little step ahead of us. Okay. They're basically
so good to watch what's happening in Raglan too.
Completely, yeah. And of course, you know, anybody who's been to Raglan or knows it will understand they've got some pretty similar issues to what we have on the island. Little community, you know,
passionate and long-standing locals.
Exactly.
I mean, Waiheke is sometimes, I think, seen as a place where the whole community changes every summer. No thanks.
No.
That's exactly what we're not.
Yeah, that is exactly what we're not. And Chris Palmer, another long-term Waihetian, said recently, you know, the tagline really is, we're a community, not a commodity. And I think it says it beautifully.
Nice, Chris.
Says it really beautifully.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. So the way that INSTO works is that a community gets into a collaboration with a university.
Hmm.
And the reason for that is that once you have developed sustainable tourism strategy, then the goal is to monitor some of the key impacts on the community. So what are the impacts of tourism, both the good impacts and the not so good impacts, so that you've got a really solid database to say, this is what's going on and we know this is what's going on and what are we going to do about it? So there's this kind of feed forward feedback thing where the strategy informs the things that you monitor and the data informs the strategy.
Am I right, Pam, in the initial stages are about monitoring to gather data so that changes and decisions can be made? Is that the UN is a monitoring kind of service? That's why...
It's not a service.
Oh, sorry.
So what?
Thank you.
That's okay. So what they do, they don't provide any funding either. What they provide is this really terrific framework for monitoring.
Developed through other initiatives.
Yeah. So the first part of our initiative, which, by the way, we're doing very firmly in collaboration with the local board and the Waiheke Tourism Forum.
Indeed, the documentation around this seems to me to be full of almost everybody who is required to make this work. I was so not surprised. I was very impressed.
Oh, thank
that
you.
On one side, we've got the board, we've got local tourism operators, we've got conservationists, we've got, let me just quickly read out a number of names who have already committed themselves to this kaupapa. Pam, obviously, Ivan Kitson, Peter Wills, Zach McCracken, Chris Palmer, Steve Paletti, Klaus Bosselman, Prue Taylor, Belinda Robinson, and Nikki Hare. So there's an incredibly well-known number of passionate Waiheke people behind this.
There are, and so they were the people who supported the initial proposal.
Yeah, yeah.
Since then, we've set up a local working group, and a key player in that, or two key players, I guess, are Kath Handley and Paul Walden from the local board. So
local
they have committed themselves to be
both
part of the local working group.
Co-chairs, aren't they, of the board?
Well, that they have yet to decide how that's going to work and exactly what role they want, but that's definitely a possibility. Other people who are on the board are a very long-term Waihetian, Denise Wiedemu.
Right.
Really important to have a number of tangata whenua on that local board, on that local working group, and we've got four people. Darlene Tunner, who runs the eCycles shop, is representing the Waiheke Tourism Forum with the group. And wonderfully, we've got Denise Roach, who's agreed to come on as well. And she will just be great because of all of her local and central government networks and indeed her Blooming Rich knowledge, which will be fantastic. Absolutely. For the project.
And I understand that you're also looking for the views of islanders. Is that right? You have an event coming up to which people can attend. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got two events. So the great thing about the INSTO model, the World Tourism Organization model, is that it requires that these initiatives be community-based and community-led. They have to be bottom-up. They can't be owned and run by council because that would be...
We know from Waiheke history, that doesn't work so well for us anyway, no fingers pointing or anything, but things that work on Waiheke have to come from Waiheke people, don't they?
Well, we're stroppy, aren't we?
Aren't we, Jess?
We're stroppy and opinionated. So, and long may that last. So the two events that we've got to launch this project, which, by the way, we're calling Project Forever Waiheke, and the emphasis there, of course, is on the forever because sustainability is about that. It's about keeping what we've got. It's about nurturing what we've got. It's about improving what we've got.
And saving what we're losing, people.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, the two events, and we're really hoping to get a great attendance at both, are both on February the 16th, which is a Friday. Yeah. Not the perfect day for a community stakeholder meeting, but we chose that date purely because that was the day that the three academics from the University of Otago Tourism Department were all available to come up and be part of that event. Three fantastic people, Anna Carr, Brent Lovelock, Sebastian Felix, all senior academics and researchers. Two of them have owned adventure tourism businesses themselves, so they're not just academics and researchers, they've been practitioners, they know the business. Truly lovely people, and we were incredibly lucky to get them. They are arguably, you know, right up there. They've been nominated as amongst the 10 top university tourism departments in the world.
Wow.
They're seen as really high performers and just really cool people, just really lovely people.
I'm sure that their intentions are all brilliant here, but we must be quite good for them too. We must be quite a good example for researchers to work on because we're so contained as a tourist destination. And you can see the effects, can't you, of unsustainable tourism here very clearly.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess in some other communities, the edges are a bit vague, aren't they? Whereas we've just got the coastline and beyond that, it's not us anymore.
Yeah. Although we're not the only one. Queenstown, for example, would also fall into that category. But yeah, they're really chuffed to be involved.
We're really chuffed
that they're involved because, of course, they get invitations like this all the time and can only accept so many. So we're just delighted that... Anyway, getting back to the events, just so people know the dates and the times.
February
the 16th, Surfdale Hall, turn up at about 20 minutes to 2, there'll be some notices going out. So that's a community stakeholder workshop specifically for Waiheke residents and others, but particularly Waiheke residents, to have input into developing that sustainable tourism strategy. That's the first step.
So that'll be an opportunity for people to have a say, not just to listen.
It absolutely
but
will.
Have a say.
Oh, no, it's a workshop.
Yeah, it's a workshop.
Yeah, totally,
right,
it's a workshop. Right. So alongside that, because we know that people won't be able to, not everybody will be able to come on a Friday afternoon, we're also setting out a survey which will ask pretty much the same questions.
Yep.
So people can just keep their eyes out for flyers around that at the usual places, the CAB, the local board offices, the ferries.
And presumably some local media coverage, hopefully before the event.
No, the newspapers have both been great, so they'll be covering it. And the second thing is a fundraiser, and on the evening of February the 16th, we're showing a film called The Venice Syndrome. And, you know, if people just Google that, they will find the trailer.
I've heard of this. This is about tourism and Venice, isn't it?
Mm. And where I just read this little blurb on the advertising, which says that there are now only 50,000 original Venetians living in Venice, which is barely as many as there were after the Great Plague in 1493.
Oh.
So, you know, what's happened to Venice is a really sad thing. The movie is very touching. I've had a chance to look at it, and we're hoping that as many people as can make it will come along to that. Actually, we've already sold quite a lot of tickets, so if people want a ticket to that event, give me a call. My number is 7749. For those of you who aren't Waiheke originals, then you put the 372 in front.
Surely there's nobody out there that needs to be told that. Never. This is part of the problem, actually. Didn't Dennis O'Connor do a wonderful series of artworks called 372 Estate?
He did.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
That is so much how communication is so deep in our identity, isn't it?
It is.
We are 372 people.
We are 372 people. Yeah, so 372-7749, if you want a ticket, give me a buzz. There may be an opportunity to show that movie again sometime in the future as a further fundraiser. We just have to negotiate that with the distributors. But, yeah, pretty exciting stuff. So,
fantastic,
and we're also, just as a little last plug, we're also hoping that lots of people will want to be involved in this project because, believe me, there are jobs for everybody.
Oh, excellent.
And the broader the base that we have inputting.
Absolutely, and the more people who have, if you excuse the term, buy-in, then just the more pervasive the whole attitude towards sustainability will be throughout the community. Pam, so I've been a journalist in one form or another on the island for a long time, and I've seen these things come and go, essentially Waiheke Hour, Waiheke, all these lovely, well-meaning initiatives. How does what this latest, it seems to me more of an umbrella idea, how does that align with some of those former Waiheke initiatives for sustainability?
And the current ones. So Forever Waiheke, if you like, is moving on from Essentially Waiheke.
Right.
And the original intention with Essentially Waiheke, for people who not familiar with Essentially Waiheke, that was a consultation that the local board did with the community in 2015, was published in 2016.
Well, in fact, that was a redoing of an earlier one from
Indeed.
About 2003.
Yeah.
So Essentially Waiheke's got a long history, but it's never actually had clout.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, not only clout, but kind of action. So the important thing, the goal for me out of this whole project is, and I believe I'm representing the local board members here too, is that without Waiheke strategy, then it's really hard to influence council at that strategic level.
Mm.
So we need our own very clear strategy. That idea is strongly supported by ATEED, by the people at Auckland Tourism, who are part of council.
Mm.
And so the way it... I think the common thing, the common feature, if you like, of projects like Essentially Waiheke, like SKP, Direction Mātiatia, is that there are kind of two things going on there. The first is it's about protecting our taonga.
Mm.
It's interesting, people often refer to those as resources, but, you know, resources actually, that's a human construction.
This is how te reo Māori in English, sometimes they don't shake hands very well, do they?
Yeah, well, I don't think that matters in
treasures,
this particular.
Treasures, I think, is a better translation than resources, because resources are for exploitation.
Yeah.
That's the meaning of the word.
That's the one. So it's about recognising that they are treasures in their own right, and we're the kaitiaki. We need to be looking after them for that whole future generations.
Don't we just?
Thing. Yeah.
Don't we just? So speaking of future generations, Pam, down the track it all goes well. How do you see this achieving for the island, you know, in a few years?
Long term. Well, it's interesting. There was an article in one of the recent Gulf News, and I can't remember the guy who wrote it, but he was talking about how he'd been here on the island since he was a child, coming over for weekends initially, then as an adult moved here, and how he had seen the island turn from an enormous sheep farm into a forest and what that had meant for the island. So we just need to be doing more of that.
How brilliant. A friend of mine once came over, not having visited the island for many years, and could not believe the regrowth at the Mātiatia Estates, which we don't think of necessarily as one of the great rejuvenating parts of the island, but if you look and compare it to the 80s and 90s, that work that Matthew Tetley-Jones and other people did in the 90s and early 2000s, it's brilliant now.
Absolutely fantastic.
And we haven't even started talking about Don Chapel and the other side of the valley.
Exactly.
So we have made progress, haven't we?
We have made enormous progress. And part of that happened because of these really good collaborations between Waiheke and Auckland Council.
Exactly.
The covenanting of that land down at Maitiatia Estate couldn't have happened without Council saying, this is the way you've got to do it.
Yeah.
So we want to rebuild that kind of collaboration with them so we're walking along the same road together rather than battling with Council the whole time.
Exactly. Not only do we seem to be aligned in this project with Council, but we have support from academics, and we have academics, strong academic element within the island. A lot of people live on the island, work at universities, and all have a passion for the island. And I can see a lot of those names. There's a lot of clout.
Yeah.
That's the wrong word. But do you know what I mean? There's just these
people.
Well,
credibility, expertise, influence.
Yeah.
And two of the people whose names you read out earlier, Peter Wills and Nikki Hare, are both members of what's called the University of Auckland Sustainability Network, and they're also very keen to be involved.
Yeah.
So the way that the monitoring program itself works with the INSTO program, let's stop calling it INSTO and get back to Forever Waiheke.
Well, Forever Waiheke is great name.
So the way that that works is that after the strategy is developed, then what we do is look at, okay, what are the key things to start monitoring? Obviously, water supply and water quality are two things there. Obviously, roads and transport are two really important things. Wahitapu, really important.
Matters
to mana whenua, what matters to tangata whenua. People's just quiet enjoyment of their own lives that, here on the island.
That is such a great expression, isn't it? And we all relate to that, the quiet enjoyment of our lives, don't we? And
so
I feel the summer, I've slightly lost that.
Exactly. So they're the kind of indicators, if you like, that we'll pull out for monitoring. And we'll tap into a number of resources to help us with the monitoring program. Part of the way that the INSTO program itself works is that those academics bring with them graduate students who will do as their dissertation, thesis, stage three projects, a monitoring program. So we will have students from Otago and from Auckland University.
Doing the hard graft.
And hopefully also from Unitech and AUT, which I know that's where you work. So gradually this will grow, but as importantly, we really want to engage Waiheke locals in doing monitoring.
Yeah.
So that's the tourism businesses, the hospitality businesses, other businesses on the island, perhaps the high school, perhaps even the primary school.
Totally.
Ordinary people, we'd love to see that happening.
I know a bunch of nine-year-olds who'll be in there and like a flash if you're monitoring the environment. They're just so passionate about
it. Yeah, and they're perfectly capable of doing it.
A bit of
support and direction.
And an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, if people are interested in being involved in the project, do give me a call.
Or turn up on February 16.
2:00 at the Surfdale Hall.
Come a little before 2, but I'll do my best to try and get it up on the radio, Waiheke Radio Facebook page before that, but also spreading the word. Pam Oliver, thanks so much for your time on this hot Saturday morning. And yes, we'll get a fan in the studio, I promise. There's Pam and I are sitting here like in an oven with the windows open, waiting for the weather to change. Project Forever Waiheke, February 16, folks. Keep an eye out for it in local media. Get involved. This is a very broad-based community initiative to develop a sustainable strategy so that every summer we don't start grinding our teeth about tourists. Oh, actually, one last thing, Pam. There was this idea in the early 2000s that there's a difference between a tourist and a visitor. And this has always fascinated me because I think there is visitors want to experience something and tourists want to take something away. Do you think that's fair?
I think it's a bit of a blurred division, really. And I don't want to be seen as a tourist basher or a visitor basher. I'm not.
Yeah.
In fact, like many of the people on the working group, I am also a tourism operator.
Yeah.
So I have a little studio.
So tourism's an okay word now.
I have a little studio that I rent out to people. And I'm also
a
conservationist.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
And so, you know, it's about looking for the balance.
Absolutely.
It's about, and I guess the other thing that we need to do is find out more about exactly who those visitors are to the island.
Well, that's the monitoring thing, isn't it? The first step is a big information gathering process, so let's do that as
a
community,
we know what's happening.
Then we can take some control of our future, and that's kind of the point.
That's it.
Thanks, Pam
Greg.
Oliver. Thanks so much for coming
in. Okay.